This week on Hidden Brain, we explore the contradictions and quandaries of our relationships with animals. When Hal Herzog's son Adam was young, he had a pet mouse named Willie. One day, Willie died. So Hal used this as a teaching moment.
We thought it would be a good lesson for the kids in terms of understanding death to have a funeral for him. After all, you know, he was a pet. The kids really, really liked him, and they were very upset when he died. And so we had a funeral. We got a little cardboard box and made a little casket. We took him into the backyard. We buried him, and we actually had a little headstone for him. We got some rocks and made a little headstone for him.
A couple of days later, Hal's wife found some mouse droppings in the kitchen and asked him to do something about it.
Well, my wife's a neatnik, and the idea that we would be sharing our house with little creatures scampering around that were mice was not something that she could live with, so she asked me to kill the mouse. And I did. I went out and I bought a mouse trap. I put a little dab of peanut butter on it and put it under the kitchen, and the next morning I got up and the mouse was dead.
And of course, you did what you always do with dead mice, which is you put it in a cardboard box and took it out in the back and gave it a funeral, right?
No, I threw it in the bushes.
Two dead mice, two very different responses.
They were in different psychological categories. One was a pet, which a lot of people, including us, sort of consider Willie a family member. He had a name. And the other was a pest. He was freeloading by, you know, stealing our cheese and generally being what mice do. That is to say, a pest. So, you know, there is a completely different psychological, you know, relationship between Willie, our pet, and the pest.
Hal Herzog is a professor of psychology at Western Carolina University. He's been studying human-animal interactions for more than 30 years. He writes about the contradictions in our attitudes toward mice and other creatures in his book, Some We Love, Some We Hate, Some We Eat, Why It's So Hard to Think Straight About Animals. I asked him how the labels we place on animals, good mouse, bad mouse, pet or pest, change how we interact with them.
Certainly one of the deepest and most important reasons that we treat animals differently is related to the categories that we put them. That's absolutely true.
So here's a second story that also lays out a slightly related but different contradiction. Your family once also owned a pet snake, and a nasty rumor spread about what you were feeding the snake. What was the rumor, and what does that reveal in some ways about the relationship we have with animals?
I got a call one day from a friend of mine who's an animal rights activist, and she said that she had gotten a call from one of her friends saying that I was going to our local animal shelter and getting kittens and taking them home and feeding them to our boa constrictor, who was, like Willie, a pet and had a name, Sam.
What does this reveal about some of the contradictions we have about animals? You talk a little bit in the book about, you know, both sort of the abhorrence with which we receive this idea that anyone would dream of feeding kittens to snakes. But of course, in your mind, this also produced something of a thought experiment and some questions about cats and snakes.
It did. And actually, for the next couple of days, there was something that kept nagging me about that. And I was thinking, like, okay, you know, what Sam ate, he was a carnivore like cats, and what he ate was mice. And so I would go basically to the pet shop and buy mice to feed to the snake, live mice. And I would, you know, kill the mice and give them to the snake. I thought, well, wait a minute. There's cats being euthanized at the animal shelter that are unwanted. Wouldn't it be more ethical for me to actually go to the animal shelter and get the bodies of dead kittens as opposed to buying live mice? Wouldn't that be morally permissible? Wouldn't it be morally better to actually feed kittens to boa constrictors than to feed mice to boa constrictors?
And of course, then that means you went out to the animal shelter and did what the rumor was saying that you were doing.
Of course I did not. We had a pet cat at the time. We still have a pet cat. We live with cats. I love cats. I would never feed a cat to a boa constrictor. So this was a classic example of head versus heart. And I realized that moral consistency oftentimes leads us astray in our interactions with animals. And that really haunted me ever since. Like, how could I live in a world in which it was okay to feed kittens to boa constrictors? And interesting, Shankar, the original title of my book was Feeding Kittens to Boa Constrictors. But the editor and my agent immediately made me change it because they said nobody would buy a book with that title.
It sounds like the start of a bad Coen Brothers movie.
It does. And it snagged me a literary agent, but they wouldn't take the next step.
Tell me about another story that you describe in the book. This guy, Jim Thompson, he's a doctoral student you met, and he owned this very beautiful bird. And he started thinking about that bird, and then he did something unusual with this bird. Walk me through what he did.
Yeah. He was a graduate student, and he was a very logical, rational person. And he had a pet bird, a cockatiel, as I recall, that he really loved. And his mother had given him a copy of an animal rights magazine. I think it was Animal's Agenda at the time. And he read the magazine. It changed his life. So he became an animal rights activist, hardcore. Became a vegan, quit wearing leather, made his girlfriend start doing all that stuff as well. And then one day he looked at the bird who lived in a cage. And he came to the conclusion, the intellectual conclusion, that it was unethical to live with a bird in a cage. And so he took the bird outside and he freed it. And the bird flew out of the cage. And he said it was an amazing sight to see that bird took off. And then he told me, he looked at me, he said sheepishly, "You know, I know she probably died. I know that I was doing it more for me than I was for the bird."